This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Good evening, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. How are you all doing out there on this nice Friday evening? Well, guess what? Tonight we have a guest all the way from New York City, and we're going to be talking to him shortly. We're going to talk about him being homeless and raising his children. My guest tonight is Mr. D. Norvell Parks, who will be speaking to us about homelessness and how he raised his three young boys living in a shelter.
Hi, everyone.
Not once, but twice. He has authored two books. Sheltered is the first one, and Sheltered Twice is the second. In his books, he talks about being homeless and how he raised his boys. The main purpose for him is telling men how to raise their children any way they can and not to abandon them because they need him. He is also affiliated with Youth World Today, which is a concept designed to strengthen the future of our young people and to encourage positive thinking and fatherhood.
Hi, everyone.
And now
welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Okay, I'm starting the show, and I'm going to introduce my guest host this evening. Okay, Mr. Richard, are you there? Hello, Mr. Richard.
Hello, hello, Jenny White.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, yes, I have my phone on mute. How are you doing?
Okay, that's okay. I was just saying that we're going to talk with Mr. Parks in a minute. I'm going to introduce him. Would you like to have the honors?
Well, you started off the show very well. I think it'll be a pleasure to introduce Mr. De Novo Parks today and give him the opportunity to not only talk about his books, but talk about his experience in New York, in the New York system, and raising his kids. So without further ado, Mr. Parks, are you on the line?
I'm here, sir.
All right, very good. Welcome to the Jenny White Show. How are you today?
It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you on. Pronounce your name again. I don't even want to butcher it.
De Novo Parks.
De Novo. All right. Well, right. We got you. All right. So let's start by.
And before we start, before we start, I have to make
yes.
a correction. It's Sheltered Again.
Yeah. Yeah. Not Sheltered Twice. All right.
Right. Sheltered Again.
That was the second book. Very good. Now, give us a little background about yourself.
Well, I have one brother and a sister. I was raised just by my mother. And the end of 1999, I retrieved my sons from their mother.
Okay. How many sons?
I moved I got three boys. I had got three boys from the mother.
Okay.
I wound up going living with my mother. I went to move with my mother, my grandmother, and family members. So my mother and my grandmother basically taught me how to raise my children as far as sickness is concerned and feeding them, because I didn't know exactly what to do. You know, I was new to that. When I got
now,
my son.
Let me ask you a question. At that stage, what was going on in your life? You were staying with family members? You weren't staying on your own?
At that stage, I was going to college. At that stage,
in
I was a college student. In 1999.
Okay.
I was a college student trying to finish college. I was going to school for child psychology. I was living by myself. And I was visiting my sons at that time. I was living in Queens, where my kids were at. I had just left the Bronx because I wanted to be closer to my sons.
Okay.
So I left the Bronx. I moved into Queens, and the area is Corona, Queens. I moved about maybe like five blocks away from them because when I got home from school, I wanted to see how they're doing.
All right.
So I wind up receiving my sons, and I moved in with my family, as I just said. I moved in with my family, I would say, at the beginning of 2000. At the beginning of 2000, I moved in with my family.
Okay.
My mother and my grandmother, basically, are the reasons why I learned so much as far as how to care for my babies. My son, my baby was the youngest one, was 6 months, going on 7 months. My next son was 2 years old.
Okay.
And the third one was 3 years old. So they would teach me how to make a bottle, how to tell the temperature, how to change their Pampers. You know, the basic things that a child needs in order to, you know, to get through life as a baby. So
well,
I learned
let me
that.
Ask you this. Let me ask you, why did the mother give up the boys? What was going on with
I
her?
I don't like to talk too much about the mother because I'm trying not to, you know, say negative things, but she had left them by themselves. Let's just leave it like that.
All right.
They were left by themselves. So I wind up getting them through the New York City courts, because in order for a father or any man to get the children in New York, they have to go through the courts. The courts have to give you the children. So I wind up getting them at that particular time, moved in with my mother and them, as I just said, learned how to care for them and how to nurse them in a motherly manner, because I didn't have that in me to know. I learned how to hold my 6 months old because he was a baby. So, you know, I had to learn all those things. And, you know, in order for a man to learn these things, he has to learn it from a woman who is natural at
that.
That's true. So, I had to learn that. So once I lived out my time period living with my mother and them, what happened was the house was sold. So I had to leave.
Okay.
Around that time, because I knew the house was being sold, around that time, I was looking for an apartment for all three of us to stay in, because I dreaded going into the shelter. The things that I would hear about shelters, I really didn't want to go into the shelter. That was like totally my last resort. So I lived in Flushing, Queens. So in that area, it was predominantly Hispanic and Chinese. It just started turning into a Chinese area. So I would go around looking for apartments, but nobody wanted a black man with three kids, basically. They would tell me, you know, I would look for an apartment. you know, and the apartment would be empty. And then I would check it out, and then they would tell me that the apartment was taken. And then I would come back weeks later, or maybe even a month later, and the apartment was still there. So, and this happened a number of times. So I felt that, you know, they didn't want a black man raising his babies there. So I was forced into Plan B. Actually with Plan C, because I was considering staying with family members because I have a big family. But I didn't want to impose and, you know, just feel like I'm throwing myself on my family.
Okay.
You know, just, I mean, living with your family and you have three kids, you know, that's, you know, you need space, you know, you need food. That's, you know, that's a lot.
Yeah, three small kids.
So, absolutely. So I decided to go into the shelter.
Okay.
So that's around the time I went into the shelter. And it wasn't a very pleasant experience. The first
place
you go into.
They allowed the kids in the shelter as well?
Yeah, so it's a family shelter.
All right.
It's a family shelter.
I don't know. All right. All right.
There's different types of shelters.
Okay.
You have family shelters, and you have adult shelters. Adult shelters is when it's just one individual.
All right.
If you was going into the shelter with no kids, you would go into an adult shelter. That's with just nothing but grown people.
Now, men and women? Or just, are there co-ed shelters or just predominantly a male shelter and a shelter for women?
No, just men. It depends. If it's, you know, if you're a man, you're going into a man's shelter. If you're a woman, you're going to a woman's shelter.
All right.
Now, I went into a family shelter.
Okay.
A family shelter. It's for just families, whether you're a man, whether you dress up as a woman or dress up as a man. If you have children, you're going into a family shelter. I went into the family shelter. I went into what they call. They called it PATH. PATH is when people are just getting into the shelter system. So everybody has to make that first step. And that first step is PATH. That's what they call, I forgot the name of it, but you come into it and they sign you in and all these things like that, and they prepare you to go into the shelter system, which can be anywhere in New York City. Anywhere.
Right.
You could be in the Bronx. You could be in Manhattan. You can be in Queens. That's where they prepare you at, PATH.
Okay.
So I wind up going into my first shelter, and my first shelter was in Manhattan. Manhattan was the first step. I've been there for approximately 6 months. I've been in there. But when you make that first step, you're supposed to be in there for no more than 3 months. And I was in there for a longer period of time.
All right.
So after I left there, I got deeper into the shelter. That's the second stage, because you got three stages. You got PATH.
Okay.
Then you got the first stage, which I just told you about. Then you got the third stage. The third stage, you're going to be in there for a good time period. Now, I was told during that time that you're not supposed to be in the shelter system no longer than 6 months. I wind up being in there for 2.5 years.
Wow.
Now, when I went into the second stage of the shelter system, I went into a shelter in Queens. I stayed in that shelter for about a year.
Okay.
After I left there, I did my thing there, you know, going to welfare and, you know, dealing with the rules and the regulations that you must abide by in the shelter system. I left there because I was getting into a lot of fights.
Okay.
I was getting into fights because women was picking on me and my kids.
Oh, man.
They were picking on my kids. They would tell the, you know, my kids were a little older back then. So they would, you know, they have a little play area in the back, and they would tell their kids to pick on my kids. That's how it is.
Wow.
In the shelter system.
Okay.
So after that, I went into my second shelter. My second shelter, which was also another year, because my first one was about 6 months. My second one, I'm sorry, my third stage, and my second, they call it tiers. You have a tier one and a tier two. My tier two, I was in there for about another year, a couple of months, I think it was. And at that stage, I started to get comfortable, actually, being in the system, because I've been in there for so long that, I started, getting used to being in the system, which is not a good thing, because people who get used to being in the system, they wind up staying there longer. And now you're talking about the taxpayers paying money out their pockets to keep you in there. And then a lot of them are not making any effort to get out the system. They want to stay there because they have no goals and no objectives
right.
in life. So those type of people, which in my book, I call them leeches. They leech onto the system, and they have no intentions of coming out no time soon. So they go to welfare. They go, yeah.
Were you working during that period of time?
I was always working. I was always working. I always had a job.
Okay.
I always had a job, and at that time, I was going to college.
Okay.
So
give me an idea. Give me an idea of your age range during that period of time. How old were you?
Oh, I was in my 40s. I'm 55 right now, so I was about in my 40s, in my early 40s.
All right.
I was in my early 40s about then. So I was in the second, the tier two, and like I said, I stayed there for approximately a year and some odd months, and in time I got out. I got certified. Certified means that I was able to begin to look for a place to live.
Okay.
Once I was at the time I was driving as well. So I was working.
All right.
I had a car and I was going to college. But inevitably I had to leave college because, I couldn't maintain that type of lifestyle.
Right.
And that pace. It's just physically and mentally draining. So it's basically impossible for anybody to maintain that pace and raise three babies and toddlers alone. It's impossible. Man, woman, don't make a difference. So, So what happened was I wind up getting out. I found an apartment in the Bronx. I moved into that apartment in the Bronx near Yankee Stadium. I lived in that area.
Okay.
And I moved it in there, and I was there for about 2 years. I was there.
Okay. All right.
And I went through a lot of fighting and stuff in there as well. Again, living in the Bronx is a rough place. So, other kids would pick on my kids. Now they're older now. You know, I would take them to the park, you know, do my fatherly duties. And other kids would pick on my kids, and the parents would be right there. So I had to defend my kids. So I would get into arguments with other women.
Okay.
They would get their boyfriends or whoever, a friend, whoever on me. So one day, actually, I got jumped by four CRIT members. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Four blood members.
Okay.
I got jumped by. So that's basically it. That's how I got out the system.
Now, how did you begin to write a book? What was the inspiration behind writing a book? Where'd that come from?
What made me write the book was I was so frustrated. I started writing my book in my tier two.
Okay.
That's like the second level.
And that's the first book is Sheltered.
That's the first book, Sheltered. So it was actually, it was used for therapy because I was so overwhelmed. I was
okay.
So frustrated. That
did you ever contemplate suicide?
No, I've never contemplated suicide. No, I've never contemplated suicide in my life. I love myself
right.
too much. No, never even
all
came
right.
to mind. But I was in a stage of depression.
Okay.
I was stressed and depressed.
Okay.
So, I in order to relieve that, I would actually do two things. I would have sex with women in the shelter because I was the only man there.
And
okay. most of the shelters. Other shelters, I mean, they would have other men, but the men would be there with their families. And it
okay.
would be rare that you would see a man there by himself like me. So in
okay.
order to relieve my stress, in order for me to relieve my stress, I was having sex with women in there. And I
okay.
would begin to write. You know, I would sleep, have sex, and I would write. I started writing just as a form of therapy. So
okay.
one day I went to my mother and I told my mother that I was writing as a form of therapy to relieve my low level of depression. Because I'm a very
okay.
strong individual. I don't let things get to me. But that is going to get to you. It's going to get to anyone.
Oh, yeah.
So I went to my mother, and my mother told me that, you know, she said, you know, nobody never wrote a book on that before from a man's point of view.
Okay.
So a light bulb came over my head. And now I'm not only writing to relieve stress and to relieve my overwhelmed, throbbing brain. I started writing to write a book because I wanted people to know what was going on in the system. So I started writing.
Okay.
Excuse me?
I found another purpose.
All right. I found another purpose. I still had the other purposes, but I found another purpose. So I started. That's how my book came about, Sheltered. I started writing. It started getting thicker once I got out the system, and I got into my first apartment, which I said was in the Bronx. I started typing it up.
All right. So when was Sheltered published?
Sheltered was published in 2006.
All right, very good. At what stage did you feel that you had more information that you wanted to share and begin writing Sheltered again?
At what stage I started writing Shelter again?
Yeah, when did you write the second book?
When I went back into the system.
All right, how did that come about?
Oh, wow.
You were doing better. You were doing better. You got on your feet. You had an apartment. How'd you become homeless again?
I left the Bronx, and I moved to Queens, which I originally wanted to be at. But Queens didn't have what they call Section 8.
Okay.
They didn't accept Section 8 as much. The Bronx, Brooklyn, and Manhattan accepted it overwhelmingly. Queens didn't accept it as much. So I moved to Queens. I left the Bronx after 2 years. I moved to Queens, and I had a girlfriend, because I met a young lady in the Bronx. So when I moved to Queens, she moved in with me. So in time, as the years went by, what was happening was she was paying a portion of the rent, of the bills, should I say. She was paying a portion of the bills. She was paying for the food. She was paying for the light bills and stuff like that. And I focused on the rent solely.
Okay. All right.
So she left me. Or actually, I got rid of her because things wasn't working out. So once she exited my apartment, meaning she left, I had to take on her responsibilities and her portion of the bills, and that was out of my budget.
Okay.
So I started falling behind in my rent. And once I fell behind in my rent, then, you know, no landlord wants you in their house once you're falling behind in your rent.
That's
so true. I was forced to leave. So once I left, I moved in. Now my boys are older now. I would say they was approaching their teens.
Okay.
Early teens. So once I left, I moved in with one of my son's friends. The mother allowed me to move into the basement.
Okay.
But I didn't want to go back into the shelter again.
Right.
So I went back. I moved in there. I was there for a short period of time. And I left there because things wasn't going well. Then I believe for a short period of time, I moved in with my brother. But that was real short. After that, you know, things wasn't going accordingly. You know, like I said, when you intrude on someone's living conditions and they're living, you know, in a certain manner, and all of a sudden, here comes a family. I mean, that's overwhelming. So I had to leave my brothers, and that's when I went back into the shelter system for the second time. But this time, when I went back in, I went in with two sons. I went in with my two youngest ones, which is 21 and 23 right now. The oldest, I told my oldest he had to go stay with his mother because the mother was sick. So, you know, the way I feel about the mother was totally separate from her relationship with her kids. And I, you know, she had physical issues and problems. So I told my older son that he had to go stay with his mother and take care of his mother, because that was his responsibility and his job as a boy going into or heading into his teens, which inevitably he'll become a young adult, an adolescent.
Okay.
So I told him he had to go stay there and take care of his mother. And I went into the system with two of my sons. I stayed there for only 2.5 months because I didn't want to take my sons through the ups and downs and the running around that the shelter system had to offer you. Running around, meaning they'll pick you up and put you over here in this shelter, Then they'll say, okay, we don't want you over here no more. We're going to take you out of, let's say, Brooklyn and send you to Manhattan.
Okay.
So I didn't want to go through that with my kids anymore. And it affects their schooling. And I was big on schooling, very strict when it came to schooling. So we left the system. Actually, what happened was I asked my boys what they wanted to do. I was like, what do y'all want to do? Y'all want to keep going through this and find another apartment, or y'all want to go live with your mother? Which they really didn't at that time. It's different now, but at that time, they didn't want to go live with their mother because they had, you know, they was attached to me, and they had a lot of love for their father. So
okay.
They really didn't want to go, but they decided that they were going to go stay with their mother. So at that point, I just left the system, didn't even go back. And, I did go back because I had to go get some clothes and things like that I had there, which I had in storage. So I went there, and I wound up being homeless on the streets for 6 months. And at that time, you would never have known that I was homeless, because I dressed well.
Okay.
I dressed well because I like to dress, not sharp, but I like to look nice.
All right.
Because I never knew what I was going to find that woman of my dreams. So I always like to look nice, clean shaven. I had a job. I had a vehicle. At the time, the vehicles, I had a problem with the vehicle. Something was a matter with the heat. So I was sleeping out of my van. Now, the reason why I got to that point, I moved in with a girlfriend of mine. And things didn't go well with that. So she threw me out in the cold. This was around November. At that time, it was cold. Now, you know, global warming, the weather's changing. At that time, it was cold.
Yeah, right, in New York.
In New York, it was freezing.
New York cold, all right.
New York cold, it was freezing. It was freezing. And at that time, it wasn't snowing as much. But the weather was still, you know, it had the winds and it had the wind chill factor, and it had that, the Jack Frost was out. So, you know, you would feel the cold. So I left her house, which I was thrown out, which wasn't my fault. But because, you know, I was living over her house, so, you know, I would come home every day with something to put in the refrigerator to make my contribution. She said I didn't have to give her any rent or anything. So I felt, you know, it was my job as a man just to bring in something. And I always tell my sons that to this very day. When you go to a woman's house, you bring something. You just don't show up and lay up in her bed. Bring something. It don't have to be every day, but make sure you contribute. So something that happened, I'm not going to get deep into that. And she threw me out. So I wound up out in the cold, and I was sleeping. I had a van with a bed and everything. So I was sleeping out of my van for 6 months. That's that.
Okay, so now during that period, had you finished the second book? Or you were still working on it?
I was still working on the second book. Actually, no. During that time period, I was writing my second book. I started writing my second book because I was homeless. So that was an opportunity I saw for me to begin writing my second book, which I called Sheltered Again, because, you know, people like, you know, they're like part twos. You know what I mean? So I was like, you know what? Let me make this Sheltered. Let me call it Sheltered Again, you know, because once my Sheltered started selling, you know, I can back it up with Sheltered Again. You know what I mean? So,
all right.
So what happened was I started writing while I was homeless. I would come home from work, you know, smelled good because my job, I worked in the hospital. So I would take a shower in the hospital.
All right.
So I took the shower. I went out. I stayed in the facility until late at night. Then I would have to leave. Or sometimes I wind up going to the library. You know, when you're homeless, you know, homeless people usually find themselves, you find them in the public because there's nowhere else to go. So they wind up going into public places, you know, sitting in Burger King, sitting in McDonald's. There's times I did that, writing my book on it. You would never know, once again, to your audience, you would have never known I was homeless.
All right.
So at that point, I started writing my second book, Sheltered Again. I would come home from work. Times I would go to the library. When the library was over, I would go sit in McDonald's or Burger King, money in my pockets. I would go on Burger King or something like that. Every now and then, I would stay over a family member's house, like my brothers again. My grandmother, she allowed me to stay over, and my mother, they allowed me to stay over their house. But it wasn't, you know, I didn't, you know, totally reside there. It was like visits, you know, 2 or 3 days or something like that. I didn't really want to impose, you know, I'm not that type of individual. I felt I just had to, you know, man up.
Okay.
And do what I had to do. Let me finish, my brother, and get back on my feet. Once I got back on my feet, then I can, you know, get my sons and stuff again.
All right. Well, Mr. DeNorvo, we're at the halfway point of the show, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to just let our listeners know if they'd be interested in asking any questions during the course of the story. And we're going to go into some other things as far as the organization that you started, Youth World Today, some of the certificates and awards you received, and how you feel about coaching, mentoring, and black men in the home. So if we have any callers out
but
there that
first,
would like to ask.
We'll have a commercial.
All right. Well, we'll have a commercial. We'll be right back after this commercial break. Hold it.
If you are in need of life insurance, auto or home insurance, or need help in getting out of debt, call your helpful insurance agents at Prime Financial Services. Did you know if you add a child rider to your life insurance policy, you can add multiple children for the price of one, starting at $10,000 worth of coverage for under $10. Call today for a free quote at 313-293-0979. Mention you heard this ad on this show for a free gift.
Lions Clubs International is a service or membership organization of over 1.7 million members worldwide. It was founded in 1916 in Illinois. Much of the focus of the Lions Club's work as a service club organization is to raise money for worthy causes as first responders. The Lions Club motto is "We Serve." Local Lions Club programs include sight conservation, hearing and speech conservation, diabetes awareness, youth outreach, international relations, environmental issues, and many other programs. The Lions acronym also stands for Liberty, Intelligence, Our Nation's Safety. For more information, contact us at LionsClubs.org.
We'll be right back after these messages.
All right. Welcome back to the show. Today's guest, we have Mr. DeNorvo Parks, and we're talking about his two books, Sheltered and Sheltered Again, and his plight with raising three boys in the New York system. Mr. Park, still there?
New York City shelter system.
New York City shelter system.
Right.
All
that's
right
how you
now.
Say it.
Okay, very good. tell us a little bit about your current condition. Are you still homeless? What's the current situation?
No. Actually, what had happened was when I finally found an apartment, I went back and I got my sons from their mother because
okay.
I wasn't giving her the kids to keep. I wanted to raise my sons. So after I became homeless, after my 6 months time expired, I went back, I got my sons. God bless me. He got me an apartment after prayer, and I just want to let your audience know the importance of prayer. Prayer, prayer. That's why we're in the situation we're in right now, black people, because we do not pray to God. This is a fact.
Oh, you don't think so with all these churches and religions, you don't think black people pray?
I don't think enough black people pray. No, black
okay.
people pray. But enough black people don't pray. Enough black people don't go to church. Especially like when I was younger. Because we would
okay.
things were doing well when I was younger. Because, you know, families used to get dressed and go to the church. And, you know, we was, you know, that was, you know, during the, I would say, the late 60s and stuff.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
And we started doing well, but once Dr. King got killed and we, you know, a lot of us just stopped going to church, I noticed in my experience that we just started slowly falling off as a people and things wasn't going well for us. So I started to pray. I started praying and God gave me an apartment. It wasn't an apartment that I wanted and it wasn't in the area that I wanted, but I just wanted to get off the streets. And I was
right.
anxious and determined to get my sons back so I could raise them the way I wanted to raise them, to be young men and good law-abiding citizens. So I found a two-bedroom apartment. God bless me with that. Thank you, Jesus. And that's how I wind up getting off the street and getting my sons back.
So how old are your sons now?
21, 23, and 25.
And how are they doing?
They're doing very well. My 21-year-old, who just left me last year, he went down to Virginia to move with his mother because she decided
okay.
to go down to Virginia. So he went with her. He's an artist. He draws very well. So I'm trying to get him. He's very quiet. As if you saw my videos on Youth World Today, you will see he's very quiet. So I got him into artwork. He's a very outstanding artist. So I'm in the midst of trying to get him into college while he's down there. My two
okay.
oldest sons, the 23 and 25-year-old, now live in the Bronx. They have an apartment together. So they're working and going to college. And I have to admit, in and out of college, because I want them to be consistent with it. But nonetheless, I did my job. I got them in college. Once, as an adult, you can't tell your kids what they should do. You can only continue to preach and to teach and to educate and to guide and to direct. That's the job of a father. But I can't make them do anything. So they're bouncing in and out of college. So I'm trying to, you know, keep them stable with that. But overall, they've never been arrested. They've never been arrested. You know, they've never been to jail. They've, you know, good law-abiding citizens. So, you know, my boys are doing, they're doing well.
How do you feel being in and out of the sheltered system has affected them throughout their lives? How has that affected them?
I don't think it affected them at all.
You don't think so?
I don't
so?
Think it affected them. No, no.
You
can look
were
at
depressed.
My videos.
You were that's, depressed.
That's
they
me.
Changed the school system. I mean,
yes.
I don't know. I mean, I would think that.
I was on, yes, but I was doing all the work. I would keep them away from that type of negative vibes and individuals. I kept them away from that. I mean, yes, they did have problems. I asked them, did it affect them? They said no. So I have to go by what they say.
Okay, that's fine. I'm just asking. You could have, you know, children that come from two-parent families, you know, in the same house, raised in the same house all their life and still come out and have problems. So I just
absolutely,
wanted to know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I
absolutely.
Just wanted to
but
know.
But I was fortunate.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So tell me, Youth World Today, tell me about that. What is that?
Youth World Today is my website. It's basically like a hobby thing I decided to put on, you know. It's not like a business I'm getting off. I mean, I sell shirts from Youth World Today. It's not hooked up the way I wanted to, where somebody can order and they'll get their shirts. But I'm working on that right now. So Youth World Today is my website. You can go to Youth World Today and you can check out me and my sons and the products that I sell and my books. My third book just came out, which is called Group Home. Group Home, things that are happening to our children in group homes. But I didn't get that on my website yet. You just find Sheltered and Sheltered Again. But Youth World is just, you know, a name I came up with because, you know, I wanted to make a difference to all children of the world. So I called it Youth World. Why? I called it Youth World because it's their world. Because we as adults are screwing their world up. So I want to get out there in the world, start talking to the youth, and letting them know that this is your world, and your adults have failed you miserably. And it's a fact. Just look around you. I know adults don't like to hear that, but it's just what it is. So I called it Youth World. This is your world. Go out there and take your world and make this world what God intended this world to be. So I called it Youth.
Now, how do you feel about the importance of black men being in the home?
Oh, well, you know, that's, you know, you can see the state that we're in, the condition that we're in. It's important for a black man, any man, but particularly black men, because we, you know, statistics is always high with us the most. It's important for a black man to be in his children's lives because, you know, number one, mothers are doing their jobs and they're overwhelmed and they have to work, bring home the food, keep a roof over their head. And a lot of times that can be overwhelming. That's why you have a lot of women out there, you know, acting outside themselves because men aren't there to take on their responsibility as a father.
No, I was just going to ask you, what's your opinion about how the black community got in the situation where we have
such homeless?
High statistics. No, not
we don't play. We
high
don't.
Statistics as far as black men not being in the home, single parent households. Why, you know, do you have an opinion or an idea of how that came about? Did it just
that came about because black fathers? That came about because black men aren't doing their jobs. Plain and simple, they're not doing what they're supposed to do. They're not passing on.
No, go ahead.
They're not educating the children on who they are. Your job as a man is to be there for your kids. That's what God put you here for. And we're made in the image of God. So we're made in the image of God. We're supposed to be godly in a sense. We're not gods, but we're supposed to be godly because we're made in the image of the man of the high above.
So my question is, in your opinion, do you think it's just negligence and irresponsibility that black men decide that they're going to create these children and not be in a home? Or do you think that the government helps to contribute to the mass incarceration of black men being taken out of the home and, you know, different situations and circumstances being put in place so that there is a high rate of women raising children without the black man being in the home?
Right, and that's a, and that's a high. And that's just, and that's a high percentage, a high 70% and more of black women are raising kids by themselves. That's just stupid, and that's ridiculous. Now, no, I'm not going to totally blame the black man for that. Of course it's the government. They're trying to knock us out. But, I mean, you know, they we're the first to be fired, the last to be hired. They're putting guns in our community. They're putting drugs in our community. So there's despair. Of course the government has a lot to do that, with that. I would never say that they don't. But, that does not prevent you from being in your child's life and making a difference in their life. And what I mean, let me finish, my brother. Let me finish.
Yep, go ahead.
And what I mean by that is that they, their job, if you don't have a job because the government just fired you and you come from a broken household and you just made two kids by a woman and you no longer live with her, it's your job still to be a part of them children's lives. It's your job to call those children up and see how they're doing. I don't care how you feel about the mother. It's your job to come and visit them children and tell them and still be a protector and still be a disciplinarian. Take them down to the park. Talk to them. Ask them why are you doing, you're not doing so well in school. Why are you not respecting and listening to your mother? So that, you know, all that of the government has nothing to do with you being in their lives and educating them, teaching them, telling them don't walk and wind up being in the same predicament as daddy is in the future. We have to teach and educate our kids. We have to tell your kids. Yeah.
Now, did all your sons, did your three sons have the same mother?
All by the same mother.
Okay. All right. Now, how about coaching and mentoring? How do you feel about that? Are you doing any of that or speaking
yeah,
to games?
Yeah, I do a lot of coaching. Yeah, I do a lot of coaching and mentoring. Yes, I do that. I do that as much as I can because I want to help, you know, make a difference in a child whose father decided that he wanted to abandon ship and be negligent and go AWOL because he wants to be selfish and not decide to take care of his children, regardless of your issue. I don't care what your issue is. Unless you are psychologically insane, you can still be a part of your child's life. If you have a job or not, you can call them up and you can discipline them still as a part-time father. I don't mean like living in California and somebody lives in New York. You're not gonna have an effect on them. But if you live in New York like I do, and the kids live in Manhattan, and you live in the Bronx, you can still have an effect on their life because you're still in the same area as far as the same state is concerned. So you can still have an effect on their lives. And if you don't do what your mother tell you to do, I will be over there next week. And you ain't going to like daddy when I see you. They're going to straighten up and they're going to fly straight. So the thing about the government and, you know, how they affected us, of course the government affect us. Of course they're doing all these things to us to bring us down. But still, you can still be a part of your – being a child, our child don't care about money. They don't care about that. They need their father's presence, especially a boy. They don't
now
care about
true.
Jordans.
Now,
yeah.
That's true. Now, let me ask you, what's your plan for the future with your books? Now, Group Home, is that book completed or is that one you're working on?
Yeah, Group Home is completed, yes. Group Home.
Okay.
I just completed Group Home. About a month ago right now. And that's with Author House as well. So to your listening audience, if you're interested in Sheltered Again and Group Home, Sheltered Again and Group Home, go to authorhouse.com and you can order those books. Group Home just came out. Sheltered Again came out in 2014. Group Home just came out again. What I did was with Group Home is I combed the area of New York, and I went to different group homes in the Covenant House, which is a big establishment where you have majority teenagers. And I interviewed kids from 18 on up, and I asked them, from the time that you left your home, your broken home, or living with a guardian, or your mother, or your father, whomever, from that time until now, the present, what got you there? What happened in between there? And the things that our kids go through because of the negligence of parents. It's pathetic. So that's what that book is basically about. What I did was I interviewed Hispanics, I interviewed Blacks, I interviewed whites. I interviewed kids that were mixed, come from mixed backgrounds. So I wanted my readers to get an idea of what kids, no matter what their background, what they go through, and why they're in the situation they're in, why our kids are on the streets, and why they're out there robbing and stealing and joining gangs and getting pregnant. And now they're starting to turn, which is in the Bible, now they're starting to turn on the parents. Because why? Because parents are selfish and they're not doing their jobs, plain and simple. And when that's what we need to start doing. We need to start being responsible, start taking care of our children.
Oh, yeah.
That's why they're acting the way they're acting. They're not acting like that because they want to. They're acting like that because they feel that nobody cares for them. Nobody loves them. Nobody wants to guide them. Nobody wants to protect them. Nobody wants to teach them. Nobody wants to preach to them. So, if you don't love me, I don't love you. I think that's natural.
All right. You're listening to the Jenny White Show today with our special guest, Mr. DeNorval Park, straight from New York, talking about his three books, Shelter, Sheltered Again, and Group Homes. And he's talking about how he raised his three young sons in the New York shelter system.
Right.
And I'm your co-host today, Brother Richard, better known as Brother Richard. And so if any of our listeners today want to call in and ask Mr. Parks any questions, push the number one on your phone, and we'll get you in the queue. So let me ask you again, Mr. Parks, how can we order your book? What's the website for that?
Once again, you have to go to Youth World today because my website is not set up properly right now, or I'm having a little problems with it. But you have to go to Author House. Go to authorhouse.com, and you can order my book.
Spell Author House.
Author House. A-U-T-H-O-R. Author House.
All
right. Go to authorhouse.com and order the books. Sheltered, which is like the book to me, you have to call me for that because I don't have my website set up. The publishing company that I originally put together that book, because I did the whole book myself, all three of my books. I did all of them myself. Editing, I assembled it myself. The only thing I didn't do was, bind it together.
Okay.
But you have to call me, and I can send that to you. My number is 347-283-2881, and I could send you that if you'd like it.
Here, give us that number again.
347-283-2881. And I would really encourage your buyers. I mean, they could do what they want. They don't have to go in the order that I tell them. But in order for them to understand my other books and how I feel about the youth, I think Shelter would be the first book that they should order.
All right. Now, what is your hope for your books in the future, in the near future? Are you looking to have them made into a movie?
I'm trying to, hopefully, I just came from Manhattan. my publishing company, Author House, which I would highly recommend people to be a part of if they're going to be an author. If they're going to be an author, I would tell them to go to Author House, authorhouse.com. Okay. And they're really a great publishing company. I just talked to some publishers, a number of publishers and producers, and I'm just waiting for the results to see whether or not they're going to make Sheltered again a movie.
All right.
Which it needs to be a movie, because it will encourage fathers to be responsible. And I want to let them know that if I, as a man, a young man, around that time I was 40 years old, I had my first son at 30 years old. If I, as a man, can raise three babies in a New York City shelter system, go to college, work a full-time job, and abide by the rules and regulations, which is, I ain't even going to get into it, got to come in at a certain time, and et cetera, et cetera. And abide by the rules and the regulations of the shelter. At a certain time, you have to be not only in the shelter, but you have to be in your father. Then you as a man who is reluctant about taking care of your child because of the mother, you can be a part-time daddy and raise your kids to be the best that they can be. I don't care what the mother said. If you love your kids like you say you do, a lot of men lie. They say they do love their kids. But I say, well, if you love your kids, then why don't you take them out to the court? Because if you take them out to the court, and that judge tells you that she has to allow her children to see you, then she has to do that, or she's going to be held in contempt of court. So it's our responsibility. That's the reason why our community is running amok, is because men are not being responsible. And they refuse to step up to the plate. And that's why our kids are acting the way they act, plain and simple.
So how is your situation now? You are still working at the hospital? You have a
part? I still work at the hospital. Yeah, I want to get out of there. I'm trying to get out of there right now. So,
all right.
My goal right now is to continue to push my books. I got speaking engagements, so my goal is to become a motivational speaker, get out there and talk to young adults and let them know, don't make the same mistake your parents made. Don't make the same mistake your parents made. You make a child, you take care of your child. Why would you want to have a child and put them through the same thing that you went through? Why? It just don't make sense.
Now, what last words would you like to leave with our audience tonight?
I would like to tell fathers and men out there who is listening to me and who's not in their child's lives and feel that the mother, because I get that all the time, a lot of nonsense, anything to prevent themselves from taking care of their children. They'll blame it on the mother a lot. They say, the mother won't let me take care of my kids. Okay, so take it to court. So if you really love your child the way you say you do, and you want to be in a child's lives the way you say you do, then you take her to court. But you know what? To be honest with you, a lot of mothers are doing their job. Yes, we have mothers out there who are being vindictive and, you know, using the kids as pawns. Yes, we have those. So, I mean, it's not totally the father's fault. The mother is wrong, of course. I'm not going to put anything on the father. No. The mother has, you know, her faults. The government has their faults. But predominantly, it's the man's responsibility to wiggle his way through all that nonsense and take care of the children so they won't follow the same path and go through the same ups and downs and trials and tribulations that life has to offer that you went through. So, yes, you know, just take the look at the court, be there for your kids. It's going to make a big difference right now. And look at my kids. You can go on my website and you can see it. My kids will tell you how I affected their lives. It's right there. I ain't no different from any other man. Be there for your kids. That's what I have to say.
Well, good.
Otherwise, they're going to keep attacking us.
I think you've done an outstanding job, you know, through a lot of trials and tribulations. And it's not easy, you know, raising children, even with a spouse or a partner, you know, let alone doing it on your own and trying to get
that's
your own
right.
self together. So,
imagine what the mothers are going through. Imagine what the mothers are going through. Raising kids by yourself. I can tell you what they're going through.
Oh, yeah. You've been there. And then, you know, being able to write 3 books in the process as well, you know, I definitely, you know, respect your perspective on, you know, the struggle and then being able to find some success on that and the gratification of knowing that through all of that, your children turned out to be pretty good young men, you know. So I definitely commend you on that. And for anyone, any listeners who's interested in purchasing these books, you can go to authorhouse.com or you can call Mr. DeNorville Parks at 347-283-2881 to purchase his books. And I would just like to say it's been a pleasure speaking with you today, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah, no problem, on the Jenny White Show. And I'm sure that you have any other interesting things coming up, let me know, and we'll definitely have you back on the show.
I would love that.
All right, and I'd like to thank Ms. Jenny White for allowing me to be her host today. And with that, we're signing off. I'd just like to say that love your children, do the best you can, and stay faithful. Good night.
Thank you.